But yeah, it's great to get together to worship God, to hear his word, and to just encourage one another. So that's great. I want to start very quickly with Psalm 24, just the first few six verses. And it goes like this. The earth belongs to the Lord, and so does everything in it. The world belongs to him, and so do all those who live in it. He set it firmly on the oceans. He made it secure on the waters. Who can go up to the temple on the mountain of the Lord? Who can stand in his holy place? Anyone who has clean hands and a pure heart, anyone who does not trust in the statue of a god, anyone who doesn't use the name of that god when he makes a promise. People like that will receive God's blessing. When God, their Savior, hands down his sentence, it will be in their favor. The people who look to God are like that. The God of Jacob, they look to you. And so the first part of this, the psalmist who is King David, he is saying, God made the world and everything in it. And it's amazing. And you know, we're getting the autumn colours in the trees now, and we're just seeing the change of the seasons. And it's really amazing how the earth functions and how God made it to function. And so we know that the earth is God's. But it's then going on to saying, who can approach this God? Who can worship this God? How can we manage this? And it's saying only those whose hands and hearts are pure. It says something different there, doesn't it? Anyone who has clean hands and a pure heart. Anyone who does not trust in other gods. Hello, come on in. It's lovely to see you. And so he's saying we just need to trust God and then we can come to worship him. But let's not think about other idols, other gods, other things we want to do. Let's just concentrate on Jesus this morning. And it goes on to say, we will receive God's blessing. People, verse 5, people like that receive God's, the Lord's blessing. And when God, their Savior, hands down a sentence, it will be in their favor. And so it's really good for us to come along to worship God. And so it was true for King David all those thousands of years ago. It's also true for us. You know, we can set our minds on Jesus this morning and be really blessed by him because we are setting that time aside for it. So I'd like us to carry on and sing our first hymn. A bit of introduction to Joshua. We have a timeline which puts us in perspective. Remember, this is actual history. These things did happen. And so so there is pyramids being built just before this period. And the book of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy finishes. And then we move into the book of Joshua in the Bible. And so then Israel is going to be moving into the promised land. And a water clock was invented in Egypt around this time as well. And King Tutankhamun was buried at a similar time. So there you go. These things did happen. So God had promised, remember back in the book of Genesis, God had promised Abraham that he was going to have a large family, so many you couldn't count them, like stars in the sky, and also land. And so we had Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then Joseph was the generations coming down. And remember, Joseph went off to Egypt, didn't he? Because there was a famine in the land of Israel. And so the people were in Egypt for 400 years underneath Pharaoh, and he'd made them slaves. And so they came out of there. Remember, they came out of Egypt, and great miracles happened. And now they're on the edge of the land of Israel. So Egypt is over there, and they've come across, they've wandered in the desert for 40 long years, and now they're on the edge of the land of Israel, right next to the River Jordan, which runs down through the middle of our map. And so Moses is come to the end of his days. He's 120 years old, and he's dying, and he's putting Joshua in charge. And so the book of Joshua goes over a time period of 30 years when Joshua is in charge towards the end of his life. And can we have our first readings, please, with Aston and Isla from Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9.
After the death of Moses, the servants of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan. You and all this people into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of the foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and the Lebanon, as far as the great river and the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instructions continuously. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then you will prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
And so you would have noticed there that often it was saying be strong and courageous. So we see Moses has now died. He was 120 years old, so he had a good long life, and now he's died and Joshua's taking command of the nation of Israel. And God is saying here, you are going to succeed in this job because I am with you. You know, God is really saying that. He's saying, you're going to be successful because I am with you. I will make sure that you are successful. But he said, actually, it's not going to be easy. You're going to have to be strong and courageous. And then a bit later on, he says, actually, you're going to be very courageous. And so it's interesting. You know, he's going to succeed, but he's going to have to work hard at it. Isn't that true for all of us in our lives? You know, we can do a good job, but we do have to work hard at it. It's not going to happen automatically. You can't sort of sit back and let success just hit us. It doesn't come that easily. And we have an old memory verse from this passage, and it's come verse 9 at the end. Does anybody know this one? Strength. We need God's strength to help us through. So I just want to have a word about covenant. The word covenant. Does anybody tell me what the word covenant means? Covenant. It's a bit of an old-fashioned word. Covenant. Another. Isla. Promise. Yeah. Promise. Promise. Covenant. Promise. And this theme runs all the way through the Old Testament, which is why I want to just highlight it really. And this is what God is saying. This is the key to anybody's success in the Old Testament. And it is that if you obey the law of Moses, then God will be with you. And it was as simple as that. You know, they had to obey the Ten Commandments, the law of Moses, and then God would be with them. That was the simple thing of the covenant or the promise of God. Some Bibles would say the Old Testament, they would say the Old Covenant. And then you get to the New Testament, they would say New Covenant. And so it's important to see that this was totally for the people of the Old Testament. This was their way to relate with God in keeping those Ten Commandments. When I say the Ten Commandments, anybody quote one or two of those? Roughly speaking? Shall not lie. Do not murder. Don't worship any other gods. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Yeah, that is quite a lot of them. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Honor your parents. That's probably most of them, isn't it? I reckon. Love and worship only Him. Yes. And so it was simple. And that theme runs all the way through the Old Testament. So whenever you hear that the people are going away from God, it's because they're not following the Ten Commandments. And verse 8 of our reading said there, study the law, meditate on the law, obey the law, do this day and night, put it first in your life. It was that important. It had to be the first thing. Worship God first of all, and then the rest of life can fall into place. And so this was a covenant between God and his people in the Old Testament, the people of Israel. And we just need to get that in our heads to understand the whole Old Testament. We are not Old Testament people. We live under the new covenant, the new promise with Jesus, that Jesus brought through by his death. We can rely on Jesus' death to forgive us when we thank him for that. And so it is actually different for us. So back to Joshua, he had to command the nation of Israel. They were on the banks of the River Jordan, about to come into the land of Israel, and they had to divide and conquer up the land. So they divided it up into small pieces so that they could conquer each bit at one at a time. And the first battle is in Jericho. And this is what we can imagine Jericho might look like, a city with a big wall all the way around it and not easy to attack. And yet this was Joshua's first job, was to conquer Jericho. And so Joshua sends two spies off to do that. Joshua, remember, was a spy years ago, so that's not surprising that he decides to send some spies off. And these spies, they were surprised at what they found in the city of Jericho. Does anybody know what they found in the city of Jericho? Why they were surprised? Obviously, there's a lot of people there. But what was their surprise about? The people were frightened of them already. Yeah, they were just sort of camping on the bank of the River Jordan, and Jericho was over there. These people had heard how their God had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and how he'd parted the Red Sea for them to run through when Pharaoh's army was behind them. And they'd heard all this stuff, and how God had fed them in the wilderness where there's no food and water. And they were scared because they saw them come in to take over their land. And they said, how can we fight these people with a God like that? We can't stand against them. And so they were already so scared that there wasn't going to be much of a battle anyway. And so these spies found that out. And they found out that the people's hearts had melted with fear. And they didn't have any courage to fight them because they were so scared. But just then the spies were discovered by the king of Jericho. And there was a lady called Rahab who agreed to hide the spies when they attacked the city, that her house would be left okay and they wouldn't be harmed. And so they made this deal. And so this lady Rahab left a rope hanging out of her window to identify where her house was so that they could be spared in the battle. And so the spies return to Joshua and tell him all this stuff. He says it's going to be a walkover. And so Joshua is comforted, no doubt. And he leads the people across the River Jordan, ready to take over Jericho. So can we have another reading from Logan, please? And this will tell us the story of the Battle of Jericho. And we will find out how it all happens. So Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 to 5.
The gates of Jericho were shut tight and guarded closed. Because the Israelites, no one went out, no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, I have handed Jericho over to you. I have also handed over to you its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all of your fighting men. In fact, do it for 6 days. Have 7 priests get trumpets made out of ram's horns. They must carry them in front of the ark. And the 7th day, march around the city 7 times. Tell the priests to blow the trumpets as you march. You will hear them blow a long blast of the trumpet. When you do, tell the whole army to give a loud shout. The wall of the city will fall down. The whole army will march up to the city. Everyone will go straight in.
Great. Thank you, Logan. And so this was going to be sort of an unusual battle, really, wasn't it? You know, the city is in lockdown. The gates are locked shut. Everybody is inside scared. And there's going to be this unusual way of fighting a battle. And that often happens in the Old Testament. God comes up with some creative ideas of how these battles are going to be fought and won. And so Joshua is commanding the army to walk around the city of Jericho once every day of the week for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, you're going to go around seven times. And the priests are carrying the Ark of the Covenant as they go. And there's the ones in the front blowing the ram's horns there. And then there they are blowing the ram's horns, making a big old racket with them. And on the seventh day, the whole army shouts. I'm not sure what they shout. I'm not sure we're told what they shout, but I imagine they shout, "Joshua!" like that. And the people inside are really scared. They've been scared all week, and now they see this climax of six times around the city. They're dead scared. And we see what happens next is that the walls just come crumbling down. And this is amazing because Jericho was a well-fortified place, but the walls just simply crash because the army of God was following God's instructions totally. And the city is taken. And we can kind of think, well, it's a bit unfair, really, isn't it? You know, what did those people do wrong? You know, but I actually believe that the people in Jericho, along with other people, had a choice of following God or not, you know, or staying with their own idols. And if we remember the story of when they came out of Egypt, remember lots of Egyptians came with the people of Israel. And I'm sure they would have been thinking, yes, I want to follow the God of Israel. And so they came with the people of Israel to follow their God. And I believe that if the people had said, when they recognized the God of Israel being so strong and powerful, you know, they'd heard about what he'd done. If they'd have said, let's worship this God instead of our other gods, you know, they would have been fine. And there wouldn't have been the need for the battle. But what was non-negotiable was the worship of other gods. You know, God said, worship me only. And that was the key to whether they would follow the God of Israel, the God of Isaac, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, or other gods of their own making. And so this is an example of, for us to take note of. And we need to follow the God of the Bible, the God of the Bible, not our fashionable ways of doing things today that we can hear about on the news or the newspapers or whatever, the internet. You know, we need to follow God. And so this is what Joshua did. And he came into the land and they conquered the whole land. And then they split the land up into the 12 tribes of Israel. So we got a map there saying the 12 tribes. And so we can see that's the tribe of tribes. There's Manasseh, Gad, Reuben, Ephraim, Benjamin, Simeon, Judah, Edom. Anybody know who's missing from the 12 brothers of Joseph? That's a bit of a clue there. Joseph is not there, is he? So how do we fix this? There was 12 brothers, there's 12 tribes. What's happened? Anybody know? They're Ephraim and Manasseh. They were Joseph's sons. We don't see Levi there either, do we? Levi, they were the priests, so they didn't get any land. They had to be supported by the other people. And so that meant there was room for two tribes of Joseph's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. So that was how the land, and the land of Israel is not that huge. It's only about the size of Wales, I believe. So it's not a great big place. Wouldn't mind going one day and finding out. But it's about 50 miles, I think, from the River Jordan to the Mediterranean Sea. We're going to think now just briefly of cities of refuge. So Natasha, could you give us our next reading, please? This is Joshua chapter 20, right near the end of the book. And verses 1 to 6.
Then the Lord spoke to Joshua. He said, "Tell the Israelites to choose the cities to go for safety, just as I directed you through Moses. And anyone who kills a person by accident can run there for safety. So anyone who kills a person without meaning to, the one charged with murder will be kept safe from the nearest male relative of the person killed. Suppose those who are charged with murder run for safety to one of these cities. Then they must stand in the entrance of the city gate. They must state their case in front of the elders of that city. The elders must let them come into their city. The elders must provide a place for them to live in their city. Suppose the nearest male relative of the person killed chases the one charged with murder. Then the elders must not hand them over to that relative. That's because that person didn't mean to kill their neighbour. They didn't make evil plans to do it. They must stay in that city until their case has been brought to the community court. They must stay there until the high priest serving at the time dies. Then they can go back to their own home. They can return to the town they ran away from."
Fairly clearly that God has got a heart of compassion. And often we look at the law, the Ten Commandments, and you can think, that's a bit harsh, all those things. But this is showing some compassion. And these under the map there are showing where these cities of refuge were. And so they were spread around the nation of Israel. And so we can see Kadesh, that's in the north. So that would be up this end of the room when we think of our map in the room. And the Mediterranean Sea is over there. Is that right? Oh, that's right on your map, yeah. And so they're spread around. So wherever you lived in Israel, you had an opportunity to get to this place if you accidentally killed somebody. So it's what we call manslaughter in our language today. And so it was just, I'm just highlighting this bit that Joshua set up with the cities of refuge. And it's not really a get out of jail free card, because they had to go through a trial, but it was a trial by independent people who wouldn't have known the people involved, I imagine. And so it was a good thing there to help the people. So I wondered now if we could just have a time of prayer, when we can just pray to God about anything in our own lives, any relatives we might want to mention, or our friends, family. Maybe we want to pray for the government or the world situation, Christians who are being persecuted for their faith, perhaps, or even pray for ourselves. So let's just have this time of prayer, and we can all join in. And I'll finish that time off. So let's pray. Amen. So I'd just like to spend the last few moments on thinking, what is this book of Joshua, which was sort of thousands of years ago, what's it got to do with us today? And there's some clear things there. Joshua was told to follow God closely by obeying the law of Moses. And so we too need to follow God closely. But not, we don't want to disregard the law of Moses, but we do this by following Jesus and by believing in who Jesus is, that is the Son of God, and what he's done for us, and now he was crucified, died and resurrected for us, and now he's back in heaven with God. And often when we're looking in the Old Testament, you know, God can seem a bit harsh, but we need to take that closer look and see a loving Saviour. And when we put that little bit of effort into looking a bit deeper, we do see a loving Saviour in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so with our memory verse, we want to just finish with that. So we just say this all together. "Choose today whom you will serve, but as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord." Joshua 24, verse 15. You know, Joshua was right at the end of his life. He lived to 110 years old. And he was pointing out to the people, you know, you have a choice. You can follow the gods of the nations around, or you can follow the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Bible. But it's your choice. And so Joshua is saying, choose today who you're going to do. Make up your mind. And then he says, then given leadership, he's saying, but as for me and my family, we're going to serve the Lord. So he's given that example, follow me, follow God. And so there is no better way to finish than that, I don't think. As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. We thank you that you are such a wonderful, great and strong God, and that you are with us. Lord, help us to follow in your ways so that we can be assured of your presence all the time. And Lord, help us to be able to just trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for our future, that we no need to be afraid or discouraged, but Lord, that we can have confidence. We can be strong because of your strength in us. So help us in this coming week, we pray, Lord, to remember these things and put them into practice and to be blessed by you. We ask this now in your name. Amen.